I'm Mark, and this week we are finishing our series entitled Good Grief, Facing Loss with Hope. And today we're going to be thinking about how we can comfort other people in their grief. You know, I really hope that you've tuned in to all the messages in this series, because if you have, you would have seen that we must take death seriously. You know, one day, all of us are going to die. It's the ultimate statistic, isn't it? That one in one of us die. And this requires us to then have a good theology about death. And that's been one of the points of us looking at this series. We've been asking, well, what does a good theology of death look like? We've explored that it means confronting death for what it is, knowing that death is our enemy, and to be honest about how that causes us to feel. We've looked to the fact that we've got a God who doesn't dodge death, but in Jesus we see a God who confronts it head on at Calvary. We have a God who knows the pain of death. We have a God who knows what it is to take a final breath. We've got a God who knows what it feels like to be bereaved. Our Father God knows the pain of losing a child. A good theology of death also includes the fact that though Jesus died, he didn't stay dead. He rose again victorious. We have a God who conquered death. So this means that although as unwanted and as painful as death is, we know that it doesn't have to be our final ending. Listen, I know that one day I am going to die, but do you know, I'm not afraid to die. I know it's not my end, that in Jesus what is to come for me is gloriously good. This is the good news of the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus, that although inevitable, death doesn't have to hold any fear. I wonder whether you know that, whether you know the good news of Jesus, and that you know that death doesn't have to be your final end, that one day, through Jesus, you can have a glorious ending too. So death is inevitable, and whilst it doesn't have to hold any fear, we know that it causes us pain. And what is painful when a death occurs is the pain of being bereaved. There is great pain that can take hold of us. It's the hardest thing that us as humans face. You know, I remember the times where I've experienced grief and loss, sometimes quite suddenly, and how in those moments when someone I know, someone I love has died, it feels almost out of this world. I feel like I'm in a bubble during those times. They're painful moments. I remember just a few years ago, a good friend of mine dying, and he was very young. He left a wife and two young children. And I remember when that news came through, just feeling, well, not really feeling anything, just feeling the shock and feeling numb. Not quite believing that I wouldn't see him again. Not quite, but I remember at the time thinking, do you know, I'm not going to see his Facebook page updated with photos of what he's doing with his family. I don't know why that thought came to me, but I remember that feeling really painful. I remember thinking and not quite believing that he wouldn't be there at reunions that me and other friends would have together. You know, grief and loss bring pain and a whole range of other emotions that they come with as well. And I know that many of you watching today know exactly what I mean. So how do we comfort people who are going through that kind of pain? What's God's plan for us during those times? Well, the first point I want us to look at is this, is that God wants to use me to bring comfort to others. God wants to use you and me to bring comfort. You know, the Bible tells us that we should expect to meet people who are grieving because of just this thing that God wants us to bring comfort to them. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 with me. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Now look at this bit. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Can you see what that's saying? That God's plan for your life, for my life, is that we pass on the comfort he has given us to other people. Have you experienced God's comfort in your life? I suspect many of you watching have. It's amazing when we do, how he steps into our pain, our anxiety, our distress, and suddenly we can know a peace. It says beautifully in the book of Ephesians that we can know a peace that goes beyond understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That when we're going through worries and anxieties and pains, God can step in and he stills our hearts, which can often be racing, and he brings stillness to our minds, which can often be overthinking as well. In Jesus, we can know that peace, a calm at the centre of our storm. And that can be so true when we're grieving. But do you know what? God doesn't just offer that comfort to us so that we can lie back on a sofa and go, ah, I feel better. Or so that we can kind of wrap ourselves up in a blanket and just kind of stay indoors going, great, I feel peaceful now. God brings a peace into our lives and brings comfort into our lives so that at some point in the future we can then pass that on to other people, that we can draw alongside others, bring them comfort and point them towards Jesus. I love how the Message paraphrase of the Bible summarizes this verse in 2 Corinthians 1. It says this: all praise to the God and Father of our Master Jesus, the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing and counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. But look how it phrases it. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. God's plan for your life and for my life is that he wants to draw us alongside others so that we can bring them comfort. If we've experienced God's comfort, we should expect to come across people very quickly sometimes who also need that comfort. And you know, the fact is, this is true of any tough time we might go through, that God can use any pain that we experience for good. There's that wonderful verse in Romans 8 that says God works out all things for the good of those who love him. What does all things mean? It means all things. It means literally that. And it must include all things, including the difficulties we face. God can work out the difficulties we face for good. That God is able to redeem pain and grief and loss and hurt and to bring good out of it. Using our experiences to comfort others. It's a wonderful thing that he does. Now, around about this time last year, I went through a really difficult and painful experience where someone was trying to cause me immense pain. They were accusing me of all sorts of things that I hadn't done, and it was really difficult. It was a really painful experience. And you know, just this week, almost a year on, I've been at a conference with some other leaders, and I was having coffee with a friend who shared what they were going through, and it was a really similar experience. You know, I was able to listen to what they said, and then to bring him some comfort. I say, do you know what? I've been there. I'd never choose to go through what I did last year, but 365 days on, God is bringing good from it. I was able to say, do you know what? I've been there. I think you'll get through this. God is the great recycler. You know, he takes the rubbish and the hard stuff in our lives and he can transform it into something good. And he does this with our grief and loss as he draws us alongside people. As this verse said, so we can be there just as God was there for us. We should expect God to use us to bring comfort to others. But you know, we've got to be prepared to move towards them, to cross over and help them. You know, I think the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus tells can really help us here. You know, when that man's attacked and he's left in pain at the side of the road, what does the Samaritan do that nobody else does? He crosses over and helps him. He reaches out and helps him. When seeing others mourning and in grief, God wants us to act. Not just to sympathise and go, oh, that must be difficult. He wants us to move towards them, to help them. Now, I wonder if you're brave enough to pray with me that this week we might meet someone who's grieving. That's a huge prayer to pray, isn't it? That God might bring somebody across our path, that having received God's comfort in our life, someone that we can move towards to help. We don't need any qualifications. We just need to make ourselves available and cross over towards them. So what might this look like in our lives? What sort of comfort can we bring? Well, here's the first idea that we can think about. And it's that we should be slow to speak and quick to listen. Slow to speak and quick to listen. In James chapter 1 verse 19 it says exactly this, that everyone should be slow to speak and quick to listen. Now this is a golden rule when comforting those who mourn, and it is crucial. It's crucial because sometimes when we come across people who are grieving, who are mourning, we just want to make it better. We want to help them. This is in my DNA. If I see someone who's hurting, I want to make it better. I want to fix it. And sometimes we just start to say stuff because we want to bring them comfort. But in doing that, sometimes we can say the wrong things. Now here are some of the things that I've heard people say, or that have been reported back to me, that people have said to them. These aren't great things to say to people when they're grieving. You know, I've heard people say that to someone who's grieving, well, God obviously wanted them in heaven because he always takes the best ones. Man, that can cause pain. We're trying to help someone, but saying something like that can cause pain because it almost makes God sound like he's selfish, that he's taken someone because he wanted them. That's not God. That's not our Father. He doesn't do that to people. You know, sometimes we can say the Lord obviously needed another angel in heaven. That's why your husband or wife or whoever has died. Well, that's just bad theology. People don't become angels. We're not going to turn into angels one day when we go to be with Jesus. It's not helpful. Sometimes we can say to people, you know, I know what you're going through. I know just how you feel. Do you know, the truth is we don't. We never know how somebody else is feeling. We might have gone through the same experience or a similar experience where, you know, we might have lost a partner or a child or a grandparent or whatever it is. But, you know, grief is unique. Pain is particular to each person. We never know what somebody else is really feeling. You know, especially in churches as well, when a Christian has died, we might say to someone, well, just rejoice, they're in heaven. Just rejoice, they're in heaven. Now, that might be true that they are now with Jesus, but when someone's grieving, they don't feel like rejoicing. Not yet, anyway. That might come further down the line. But in those early days of grief, they don't want to rejoice. They want that person not in heaven, but to be with them. You know, we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak, which isn't always easy. But it says here we need to be quick to listen to what they're saying. And, you know, sitting with someone and just listening and giving them permission to express and to say what they're feeling is a real gift to give someone when they're grieving. Allowing them to ask the question, why? Well, why has this happened? Why would God allow this to happen? And to express those feelings. I think it's okay to sit with people when they're grieving whilst they question God. God is big enough for any question we might ask. And we can assure people that that's okay if they're asking those questions. You know, even Jesus, as he was dying and he hung on the cross, asked God why. He said this, my God, why have you forsaken me? I think we can ask questions and we can say why, if Jesus did. Job questioned God a lot, didn't he? In that story where he loses everything. Why, God? Why is this happening? And do you know what? Job's friends did their best work when they kept their mouths shut. When they tried to comfort him, they just caused more pain. When they stopped talking and listened, that's when they did their best work. Yeah, I'm not suggesting that we don't talk to people when they're grieving. I'll come to that in a moment. What I'm suggesting is that we listen first, and we listen a lot. It's good to sit with people when they're grieving and just listen. Listen to their stories. Yeah, they may then turn to us and say that biggest question, well, why has God allowed this to happen? How could a good God allow my wife, my husband, my father, my mother, my daughter, my child, how can a good God allow them to die? I was asked this question just over a week ago. Somebody said, well, how can God have allowed that to happen? I didn't have an answer. You know, and the truth is, none of us have an answer to that question. I think that even if God came down and sat in front of the person and told them why, they probably in their grief still wouldn't take that answer in. You know, if you're spending time with people who are grieving, please don't try and answer that question as to why God would have allowed it. None of us know why. I think it's better just to be honest and say, I don't know. I know that he's a God of love. I know that he's a good father. I don't know why he's allowed this to happen. No, instead, the Bible tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice, but it says to weep with those who weep in Romans 12, to weep with those who weep. Rather than trying to give answers, one of the things we can do is sit and weep and be compassionate with people. The word compassion, when we break it down, passio means, the second part of the word means to suffer. Com means with. Compassion is suffering with people. It's weeping with those who weep. I can think of some of the key times in my life where I've been grieving, where I've been in pain, and friends have just come and sat with me and cried and just said, this is rubbish, Mark, isn't it? And put an arm around me. They've got no clever answers. They've got no little sayings to help me. They've just sat and cried with me. Just as Jesus did with Mary and Martha when Lazarus died. And he just goes to grieve and he cries with them. We can do that. We can do that because our presence, just being with people, brings God into the situation. You know, we don't need to have clever words or phrases or answers. If we're a disciple of Jesus, then he lives in us. His spirit is in us and he lives within us. And so we carry him wherever we go. So when we spend time with people who are mourning, when we sit with them and listen, and we don't shoot our mouths off. When we weep with them, just our presence brings God into the situation. Isn't that incredible? Look at what it says in 1 John 4. It says, all who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Can you see what that's saying? That the God of love, the very fullness of God, lives within us. If we declare that Jesus is the Son of God. If you're a disciple of Jesus, then wherever you go, you take God with you. That includes when we sit with people who are grieving. What a gift we can bring people when they're grieving. But you know, it's not just about being with people. We can, when the time is right, speak to people who are grieving. We're slow to speak, but we do speak, and we can offer hope. Now, you might be saying now, well, Mark, that's fine. You've just been telling us not to speak. You've been telling us, be very careful what you say. And I get that. I get that. But there will come a point where we might want to speak to people. And I can tell you what we can share. We can share God's word with people. Because God's word offers hope. And it brings comfort when people are grieving. It's full of hope. And it's full of words of comfort. When you spend time with people who are grieving, let's bring God's word to them. Look at what it says in Psalm 121. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And there's a sense when we're grieving or when we're with people who are grieving that we kind of look up and around and go, well, why? You know, where's my help? And, you know, I've been with people so often who are grieving and they kind of throw their head back. Where? Why is this happening to me? It feels like the world we know has ended. Where can help come from? Well, it tells us here that our help comes from the Lord, the creator and sustainer of all things. So when our friends are grieving and looking for help, we can come alongside, we can listen, we can be with them. And at the right time, we can encourage them to look to God. We can share this verse with our friends. We can offer to pray for them. You know, and they're kind of going, oh, I just need some help. We know in the Bible, it tells us when we need help, help can come from God. One of the most famous passages in the Bible, in God's word, is Psalm 23. It's often read at funerals. It's read at funerals because it contains these words. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, Psalm 23 compares God to a shepherd and that we're his sheep. That we don't need to be afraid as God, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, is with us. In this version on the screen it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, but you know, I just quoted it as being the valley of the shadow of death. You know, it's interesting that some historians think that there actually was a physical valley of the shadow of death, that it was on the road down from Jerusalem down to Jericho, where there's just a deep gorge that people used to walk through, and it was very dark and people used to get attacked. In fact, some historians would even say that that's where the story of the Good Samaritan is set, that he's on that road from Jerusalem to Jericho and he's attacked and he's left for dead. It's a place of real fear. It was a place of death. Psalm 23 assures us that even though life can bring us to those dark places, those times where we might be fearful, we don't need to be afraid because the great shepherd is with us with his rod and his staff. When our friends are grieving, what an incredible thing to share with them, to maybe pray over them and say, God, you know, my friend is fearful. God, my friend is in a really dark place at the moment, but I want to pray that they will know you close with them. In the New Testament, Jesus often recognizes just how tough life can be. And in Matthew 11, Jesus says to those who are listening, he says, come to me. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. If you've walked through grief, if you walk with those going through grief, you'll know that it's tiring. It's exhausting. Grief can manifest itself physically as well as emotionally. It can cause us sickness, pain. It can leave us exhausted. You know, doctors will tell you that grief can cause chest pain, digestive issues, headaches. It can cause us difficulty in thinking clearly. I've read one doctor in the past who says that grief can often cause almost like flu-type symptoms where the person just doesn't want to get out of bed. As we cross over the road to help people who are grieving, as we spend time with them, that we can point them to God's word. And his word that says, come to me, all of you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. What an invitation to offer someone who's grieving, that God sees them, that he knows them, that he knows how exhausting their grief can be, but he is offering them rest and they can come to them. What a thing to pray with our friends when they're grieving. Say, God, my friend is weary, they're tired, they're exhausted. Father, would you give them rest? If you have experienced God's comfort in your life, his word tells us that we can expect to meet people who are grieving. That we can offer them the comfort that we've received, that we can pass it on. When we do that, let's be quick to listen to what they're saying. Let's be slow to speak in these situations. But when the time is right, let's also bring God's amazing words of comfort, his words of hope, his words of rest that are here in his word. Let's pray together. And Father, we want to thank you for the comfort that you've placed in our lives. Thank you that you are the God of all comfort, the God of all compassion. Thank you that you've drawn alongside us. And Father, we pray that we will be women and men who cross over. We pray for situations this week. We're brave enough to pray that you would draw us towards people who are grieving, that we might offer the comfort you have offered us. But in doing that, Father, we pray for our mouths. We pray for our words, that we will only say words that are from you. We don't want to cause any more pain or discomfort. Help us to be good listeners. We pray for our ears, Father. Help us to listen well. And Father, we pray that you, when it is the right time to speak, that you will give us a treasury of words from your scriptures. Father, that you will place verses on our hearts and in our minds that are from you, that will bring comfort, that will bring hope, that will bring rest for people. That we would readily recall scripture to share with people who are grieving and hurting. Father, thank you that you are a God who doesn't shy away from death, but you're a God who knows the pain that death and loss can bring. Help us to walk closely with you. Help us to be men and women who grieve well and who find hope in loss. Amen.